You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. I'm Holden Kushner alongside J.P. Arencibia, and we're going to start the podcast out with the MLB At The Plate triple play. It's where J.P. and I discuss three topics that interest us. I'm going to start the triple play out talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks' confidence level against the Dodgers going into the postseason. We'll then break down the most dangerous arms that'll take the mound in the American League playoffs. And J.P. and I finish off the triple play discussing the postseason outlook of the Cleveland Indians after winning their 14th straight game on Wednesday night.
The MLB At The Plate triple play.
The Dodgers sitting there 11.5 up. You think the Dodgers feel a little heat losing 5 in a row and 9 of 10? And Arizona has now closed the gap 9 games in a week and a half. It went from 20.5 games to 11.5. We got a real race going on out in the NL West.
And the facetious meter is very high right now. Because that is a Pinocchio lie if I've ever heard it.
Yep, you're not buying it. You're not buying it. Hey, let's talk about the Dodgers here for a minute. Because they have lost 9 of 10. And they have lost 5 in a row. And I still think that while Cody Bellinger, everybody points to him, I think the loss of Corey Seager has been huge for this ball club. He's steady as they go. He's a rock. He does everything. He's probably the most underrated player that I've ever seen in a big market because he's not even getting the attention as being the best player on his team. It's been Bellinger and Turner, and all Corey Seager does is put up monster numbers, plays really good defense. They look to him. He lived up to the hype as the best prospect in the game. So, but the Dodgers aren't getting it done. And besides for that Kershaw start, and he's coming out again tomorrow, the pitching hasn't been that great. And they got to get Darvish going. They got to get Rich Hill back on track since that no-hitter he brought in extra innings. Last couple starts have not been good. And they need to get Alex Wood off the DL. So your thoughts on the Dodgers. Should Dodgers fans panic at all given the team's horrible play the last week and a half?
If we were talking about this being September 20th and going into the playoffs like this, we could be talking about possibly being in a tough position because they're playing bad and usually if they run into a hot team in the beginning of the playoffs and they're playing like that, probably going to end up bad for them. So no, my answer is no, because if they struggle like this early in September, they can still, let's say they win the last 8 out of 10 or whatever at the end of the season, that's all I'm looking for. They know that they're in the playoffs. They have that opportunity to get to the playoffs without even worrying about anything else. Now I just want them to reel off some wins to end the year, because if you do that, that's where you need to be clicking on all cylinders. So I think it's still too early. I love the team, though. I do think they didn't necessarily hit too well against the Diamondbacks.
So,
I mean, they didn't really swing the bat too well. And then they ran into a team. I mean, listen, these guys are swinging the absolute. Sometimes you just run into hot teams. And, I mean, this team is obviously a hot team with however many, I think, is it 13 straight?
They're going for 13 straight tonight.
Yeah, so 12 straight. And you have J.D. Martinez, who I still think he's the best pickup at the trade deadline so far. He's continued to be great for that team. But listen, this team is so well put together. It's when you get to the playoffs and you go Kershaw 1-2. I mean, listen, you have good arms behind them, but Kershaw 1-2 is the ultimate trump card for me.
All right, let's look at it the other way then, because you talked about the negatives and the positives. Let's look at the Diamondbacks then, because the Diamondbacks, with what, 5 outs tonight, will, if they can get a lead, they haven't trailed in over 97 innings. Okay, let me just repeat that again, because this is so mind-boggling. The Diamondbacks have not trailed in 97 innings, so we're talking over 10 games now, almost 11 games. They're 4 outs away. Okay, four innings away from the MLB record set by the 1942 Yankees. All right, so all they got to do is get a lead tonight, hold it for half a game. They're going to set a record. The Diamondbacks, and they don't even have Goldschmidt. He's hoping to be back on Friday because he had a cortisone injection in his elbow. The Diamondbacks got to be feeling pretty good that if they get into the wild card game and they win that game, that they could beat the Dodgers now. Whether or not it's true or false, how much confidence are the Diamondbacks getting beating the Dodgers down here in these last five contests?
Definitely you're going to have some confidence. Guaranteed they'll have a little bit more chip on their shoulder going into the playoffs, but now the Dodgers are going to be a little bit more upset, and they're going to also be, I mean, again, when it comes playoff time, there's a different switch. Not that I'm saying they didn't play hard these games. There's a different switch, and when it comes down to it, they know that they got their tails handed to them during the season by or the last, you know, series that they're playing or whatever. They're going to come in looking to absolutely send a message. So I think, listen, one team is going to be uber confident because they had a good series against them, and the other team's going to go out there with the mentality of, you guys hit us on the chin last time. We're coming throwing haymakers this series. So, I mean, again, it all comes down to, at the end of the day, who's playing the best? Who are they going to – who – if it would have run into – if this would have been the start of the playoffs, then I'd say, you know what, the Dodgers might be in trouble because of them not playing well and the other team playing very well. But, again, still a lot of time till the season ends. And they'll start to shake out, and these guys will, at the end of the year – it's like anything, playoff hockey and playoff football and all the – you know, these guys – and the great ones really take it to the next level.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think, listen, I think we've finally seen a hole in the Dodgers game. I love their postseason chances. I can look at both the pluses and the negatives, though. I mean, if you are arguing against the Dodgers' postseason success, what you're saying is Kershaw is not the same guy in the postseason. The Diamondbacks have gotten to Rich Hill. You know, they can get to Alex Wood. Maybe they can even get to Yu Darvish. And the Diamondbacks have the most valuable player in the National League in Paul Goldschmidt. And they've been taking out the Dodgers this series without him. So maybe the best is yet to come. Taijuan Walker has been nearly unhittable recently. He's just been on some type of roll. Robbie Ray coming off the 14 strikeout performance. And then you go back to JD Martinez. Listen, the Diamondbacks are rolling. Diamondbacks playing their best baseball of the year. Here's the deal, though. There are still 3 weeks for another team or maybe even the Dodgers to get hot again. Can the Diamondbacks continue to play at the level they're playing for another 8 weeks? Because that's what it's going to take to win a World Series.
No.
You got to play at this high level for 8 weeks. They've won a dozen in a row. How many teams can carry that out for that long?
None, right? No, I mean, not none. I can't say none because I think the year that the Cardinals won the World Series as the wild card, I mean, they did. They carried it out. Remember, they were down 11 games in September, and they came back. And they, yeah. You know, so it's not none, but again, it's very tough to maintain. I mean, these guys were just hitting balls everywhere, and it was multiple guys just putting on a show. So I think it's a very tough pace to maintain, and it would be very, very hard to continue. And plus, because in September you always play your division more than anybody else, right? That's just the way the schedules are made. The division is so good, and they're gonna go to a team. They're gonna have to play the Rockies. They're gonna have to play, you know, those guys that are not easy. And again, they may run into the Giants. The Giants are playing for nothing. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at these guys. I mean, you may see these games go so long because the Giants are going to try everyone out of the bullpen. So it's going to be Mr. Matchup and all these different things. And it might hurt. Honestly, that's how some of these bad teams win at the end of the season.
It's going to be rough. I'm going to be honest with you, because Bochy did it in the playoffs last year, and it was rough, and now he's got, you know, 15 guys in his bullpen. It'll be rough watching those two teams down the stretch. But again, you know, I'm curious as to how long the Indians can keep this up. I actually thought that they still are my favorite to get to the World Series and win the World Series, but them winning this many games in a row concerns me a little bit, because you're always coming down off of this. You can't. Nobody can keep this pace up. The Yankees, 114 wins. What was that? Like 98. That's the only team I remember that kept this pace up basically the whole year and had one little losing streak. The Indians are playing so well right now. The Dodgers were playing so well. Is there going to be a time where the Dodgers have played their best baseball? Is this the time where the Diamondbacks and Indians are playing their best baseball and they never regain that?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so, because you're talking about a team that was, you know, a game away or whatever from winning the World Series last year, however many games, you know. So that's why when it comes to the Indians, you can't, like, listen, last year, the Diamondbacks, where were the Diamondbacks at the end of the season?
Garbage.
Exactly. And where are these teams that are back in it? Where were they at last year? Like the Dodgers and the Indians, they were in the playoffs. These were good teams. The Dodgers was a good team. The Indians were a good, great team, really. So it's not that these are the guys that don't scare me as far as like, oh, did they peak too early? Did they play too good during the season? You know, it's more, honestly, for me, teams like the Diamondbacks who are not used to this and not used to the stage and not used to the playoffs and not used to what they're – I mean, because really at the end of the day, they're literally just going like, man, we're on a heater right now. This year has been – I mean, everyone's going to say, yeah, we believed in everybody in this clubhouse. But really, I mean, did they expect to be this good? I don't know. So I think these other teams are the ones that you're like, man, these are the real deal Holyfields, because they were there last year and everybody, and you know, the Indians added, the Dodgers added. So I don't think these guys peaked early and are going to look back and go, or we're going to be sitting in the playoffs going, oh my gosh, they did it too early. I just think we're going to be looking at the playoffs and these guys are going to be ready. They're going to be bulletproof. And then the other teams are the ones that we're going to see how they finish the year going into the playoffs.
But now that the Astros have Keuchel and Justin Verlander, they're going to need that number three starter. And I like Charlie Morton. Like, I'd be okay with that. But this is huge for Lance McCullers, because he was 6-1 with a 2.48 through the end of May. And then he came back in June and July and pitched to a 6.25. And now he comes back hopefully healthy. If he can come in there, and I think he's a number two on a really good, on a World Series team, he can come in there and be their number three starter. My goodness. Who are you running out there in game one of a playoff series, by the way? Is it Verlander so you can go right, left, right? Or is it Keuchel because he's been there for so long?
Yeah, I got to imagine it's Keuchel. I got to imagine this is a guy. I mean, this is the Cy Young winner. And I know, listen, Verlander's in that same conversation, but this is your guy. I mean, this is your franchise pitcher. So I think it's, you give the nod to Keuchel. But I like, if Keuchel is himself – and Verlander is how he looked the other day, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Again, the bullpen just has to be able to handle their portion of the game.
I mean, look at the starting rotations and what each of the contenders really have to offer. So if you face the Red Sox, you got to go up against Chris Sale. In a 5-game series, probably twice. In a 7-game series, maybe 3 times. And I'd feel pretty confident rolling out Kluber against him and at least having a push there. And I'd also feel pretty good about rolling Verlander out there. I personally think Verlander is the guy that I would go with. I know it's Keuchel's staff, and he's been there for a longer time, but who's the guy that's had all the postseason experience, that has a lot of postseason success, especially in the first 2 rounds? That's Justin Verlander. But all these teams – Sale just gives you a different level of domination. But on any given night, Kluber is just as dominant. So that's 2 teams. Boston, they got to get Pomerantz out there as long as he stays healthy. He walks a tightrope too much for me. Too many walks, too many base runners. I think that'll come back and haunt him in the playoffs. They can't count on David Price. So, you know, maybe Doug Fister stays in a rotation. He keeps throwing like this. There's no way you're taking him out. I mean, how can you take Doug Fister out of your rotation when he's been your second best starting pitcher?
It's tough to say that you can't take him out. And again, like you said, Pomerantz, he's got flashes. You just, nobody there is as consistent. You need to throw Sale every single game. Their bullpen is great, but it has to be every single game.
Porcello's been better as of late. So you got Boston, you got Cleveland, you got the Yankees have a really good rotation. But now it looks like Girardi wants to go back to Chapman as their closer. So Betances, he gave up the big home run to Manny Machado last night. They blew that game. They had a nice lead in it. And now what does it tell you that Girardi wants to go back to Chapman? That he's done his time. He's confident again. He's had enough innings. I mean, how big is this? If Chapman doesn't work out and then you got to throw Betances back in the closer's role, what are you doing? You're going back and forth. Does this have to work out here for Chapman, or is it okay? It doesn't work out. You can go back to Betances and still feel comfortable.
I'll feel comfortable with all three of them, David Robertson, all of them. I feel comfortable with every one of them. So at the end of the day, I think what they did with Chapman was good. You get him some less leverage, okay? You know, some innings that are not as high leverage. You let him go out there, kind of work his stuff, let him get his juju back, and then you put him at the end. Because at the end of the day, who was the most dominant pitcher in the playoffs last year?
Chapman. So, Kenley Jansen. I'm going to go Kenley Jansen.
I mean, let's be honest.
Andrew Miller?
No, let's be honest. Chapman was the best. Who's the one that brought home the trophy, and who's the one that finished out all the games? I mean, let's be honest. It's Chapman. So you look at that, and that's what, for me, is you wanted to have got him back into where he wanted, where he needed to be mentally, where he needed to be physically. So I like what they did with him. He seems to be back now. It's September. This is where you start really dialing in what you're going to use for in the postseason. And you just let him roll. You let him have the confidence, and you let him go out and be the guy.
Last but not least, Cleveland. You know, we talk about the offense here. How about Kluber and Carrasco? These two guys have been filthy. You remember when he came over for Cliff Lee from the Indians all those years ago, and he's finally, for the most part, stayed healthy this year. He's got an outside chance at 200 innings. He's awesome. He's a badass.
Yeah, he is a very, very good pitcher, and I think that by, you know, them moving him to the bullpen and letting him kind of pitch at a max effort and bringing him back out as a starter, I think he's brought that mentality as a starter. You know, he's sitting in the mid-90s, can get it up there. He's become such a dominant pitcher. And then Kluber, my goodness, what he can do to a baseball, move it in and out, sink it, cut it, and his, you know, his breaking pitch. It's just, he's just so special, man. And it's been fun to watch him come back from the DL and just really turn it on.
And the cool thing about Carrasco is everything just moves. You know, Kluber has that flying saucer stuff. And I wouldn't say Carrasco has that to that degree with the amount of movement, but nothing Carrasco throws seems to go straight. Everything's sinking, diving, just coming in, going outside. And that's just another thing that makes him so good. He's got a very good fastball, but everything is moving, JP. Nothing is straight.
Yeah, and it's nothing straight, and it's not at 90. It's nothing straight at mid-90s, mid to high 90s. And then now you mix in breaking ball with that. I mean, that's serious stuff. That's why he's so good.
14 straight wins for the Cleveland Indians. This is a runaway freight train right now. They get another home run from Carlos Santana. Jose Ramirez didn't even do anything. He just walked tonight, and they still had enough. Carlos Carrasco, complete game, gave up a home run in the ninth, so gave up one run. He's just remarkable. Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar is a question mark for the postseason. Who knows what's going to happen with him? I'm feeling pretty good with Trevor Bauer as my number three. How are you feeling about the Indians' rotation heading here in the final 3 weeks of the season if Bauer has to be your number three in the playoffs and he doesn't play with drones?
I like it. I think he's done. He did a good job in the playoffs. He obviously has a little bit of you know what when he's telling guys to get in the box and then he's punching them out and he's telling them to go take a seat. I mean, I like that kind of fire. You need that in that, you know, especially in the playoffs. So I feel comfortable with that.
This streak started with a win against the Red Sox. They split a four-game series, but the fourth game, they beat the Red Sox. Then they swept the Royals. They swept the Yankees. They took three games there. There was a rainout in that mix. They swept the Tigers four games, and now they've won three straight against the White Sox. So they'll go for 15 tomorrow against the White Sox, then they got the Orioles and Tigers coming up next. The schedule has kind of slowed down since that Boston and the Yankees series, but they've just been taking care of business. And again, I think after we looked at the schedule, you still believe that this team will make up the ground and catch the Astros and have home field advantage in the American League.
I agree. I do think so. Yes, I agree that they are going to pass. They're going to surpass the Houston Astros, and they will be the best record in the American League come the last game of the season.
How important is it for them to get Andrew Miller back at 100%? Because right now he's sitting on the DL. They got Allen. They got Shaw. Do they have to have an Andrew Miller at 100% to win the World Series?
I mean, maybe not 100%. They have to have him on the field, though.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot of good things, such as Toradol, such as, there's cortisone shots. There's dose Medrol packs. There's a lot of ways that you can get guys on the field and play through pain or to play through minor injuries. So, again, if he's not 100%, am I worried? No, as long as he's on the field.
Yep, just three games back behind Houston for the best record in the American League. And here we go.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this. There's hits, and then there's all-time rock classics from the 60s and 70s. With classic rock hits on TuneIn, relive the very best sounds that defined an entire generation. If I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away. Listen to the greatest rock songs in history with classic rock hits on TuneIn. This is the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Aaron Sebia.
There were 15 games on Wednesday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, home run tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
Who's your pitcher there, Mr. Aaron Sebia?
Well, my pitcher is the one and only Mr. Carrasco, and he went 9 innings, CG, 3 hits, 1 run, and 9 strikeouts, and his only run was a home run, so he was pretty dominating.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. Carlos Carrasco was brilliant. My guy Garrett Cole was brilliant tonight against the Cubs. Now, he took a no decision, but the Pirates righty went 8 shutout innings of 2-hit baseball. He struck out 8. He did walk 4, but he threw 108 pitches tonight, 71 for strikes. Garrett Cole, my best day ever. Now, who's your guy at the plate?
You know, I'm going to have to go with the matinee game in Elvis Andrews. I have to tip my hat to him. He's been, you know, he's been good, but he hasn't been lived up to his $125 million contract. And this year, he's really, really done a good job of kind of shutting everybody up. He hit his 20th home run. He's a 2020 guy. He has 80 RBIs. He hit his 38th double. And in this game, he went 4-for-5 with 3 RBIs. And so, he is my guy.
What's more impressive, 2 home runs or 3 doubles? I think 2 home runs.
2 home
right?
runs is
two
definitely runs. More All impressive. Right.
Because Whit Merrifield of the Royals had 3 doubles. I'm going to go Salvi Perez, though. Set a career high in home runs. He had 2 tonight. His career high was 22 coming into tonight. Now he's got 24 home runs. And he actually broke he was the guy that hit the home run that broke the Royals' single season home run record. As 169 and then 170. Salvi Perez, couple of home runs, 3 RBIs and 4 at-bats. Best day ever. Speaking of home runs, let's track them all.
MLB At The Plate Home Run Tracker.
This afternoon, Neil Walker of the Brewers got things going with a 376-foot shot. Brian Dozier and Ari Adrianza both went deep as well. Evan Longoria hit one 385, 102 miles an hour off the bat. Elvis Andrews, Matt Kemp, and Lucas Duda all going deep this afternoon as well. Ender Inciarte of the Braves, 393. Zach Cozart hit one 406. Kevin Kiermaier went 426 with 105 exit velo. Jose Peraza, Mike Napoli, both going deep. Chris Davis hit his AL-leading 39th, 393 feet. And 107 exit velo. Salvi Perez, first home run tonight, went 408 feet. His second went 361. It's Travis d'Arnaud, Nomar Mazara, Jackie Bradley Jr. all going deep. And Ryan Zimmerman's shot in Miami went 427 feet, 108 off the bat. Ian Kinsler, Nick Williams, both going deep. Michael A. Taylor of the Nationals, 427. It was Carlos Santana cranking one, 425. Adam Engel hit the home run with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning against Carlos Carrasco to break up the shutout. Hit a 400-foot shot off of Carrasco, 107 exit velo. Carlos Santana again, 425. Yonhervis Solarte, 394 in Petco. Mac Williamson, 413. Kyle Seager, 410 off of Lance McCullers. He's homered in three straight games, is Kyle Seager. Charlie Blackman, farthest homer of the night. Blast one, 450 at Coors, 102 exit velo. And Nick Hundley hit one, 445 at Coors for the Giants. Let's look a little deeper inside the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
All right, so the Orioles and the Yankees rained out today, JP, but Manny Machado batting 354 with a 391 on base and a 633 slugging over his last 54 games played. So, you know, he had a horrible season. He was hitting 220 earlier in the year, but now at 273 with an OPS of 835. Still not Machado-like, but he's gotten so hot. I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes this season as hot as this, flirting with maybe 290, 295.
Dude, what a – I mean, it's just a phenomenal second half. And what a way – you know, that's the difference between superstars, Manny Machado, and guys like myself that are out of the game. You know, a guy like that who struggles statistically in the first half to be who he is, a lot of guys fold. A lot of guys fold. And the reason why these guys are superstars is because they just continue to believe, and all of a sudden they have a second half the way that they do. That's why these guys are so special, because it's between what's between in their ears. And obviously this guy is very, 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 not only talented, but very special mentally.
0-for-38 stretch for Pablo Sandoval of the San Francisco Giants, the longest stretch without a base hit in the history of the franchise since they moved to San Francisco. So that's not working out for him. Salvador Perez of the Royals, seventh inning home run, his second of the game, was 170th for the Royals this season, a new franchise record, broke the mark set by Perez in the second inning. Perez also has increased his home run total in six straight seasons. That's the longest active streak in baseball and in Royals history. Think about that, how Salvi Perez has come along. Six straight seasons increasing his home run total. What kind of defensive catcher is he?
One of the best.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who is one of the best defenders behind the plate, catching, calling the game, blocking, throwing out runners. I mean, he has the gold label on his glove for a reason. And then now you talk about a guy who was hitting for average but didn't really put up the power numbers like he could, because he's put up power numbers, but he's definitely had the opportunity to put up more power numbers. This guy arguably is the best catcher in baseball all around.
Man, that's saying something. AL home run leaders, Chris Davis, 39, Aaron Judge, 38. Last time Aaron Judge wasn't at least tied for the top spot was May 27th, when Mike Trout had 16 and Judge had 15. Things have changed. Chris Davis has been going psycho. He's just a tremendous hitter that doesn't get enough credit. Ichiro of the Marlins batting 351 over his last 45 games. It's pretty impressive. White Sox Avisail Garcia singled for the first White Sox hit tonight. He's hitting an AL high 363 in night games this year. And the last time the Diamondbacks trailed in the game was August 25th against the Giants. So that was the second game of their current 12-game winning streak. And, of course, the Dodgers took a lead tonight and ended the 97-inning streak where they hadn't trailed in a ball game. There you go. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily 5-hour show, you not only have the chance to hear what you heard on the podcast, you have the chance to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio and JP Aaron CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you manana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.